The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC.
Now that the market has reached all-time highs, does it really make sense to be putting money in? Is the coast clear? Maybe. Maybe not. We're going to talk about that today. It's a Sunshine Friday on the Peter McClellan Show. We start now.
It's Sunshine Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Sunshine. Welcome to the Peter McClellan Show. This is your host, Peter McClellan. Always a pleasure to talk to Jeff Hyback. And Jeff is in one of these challenging times from a standpoint of having to play having to play the role of the grown-up. He's doing that both with his family these days regarding wanting a puppy and also investors wanting to think, hey, if the market's up this much, it's got to be on solid ground. And so, Jeff, tell us, what's going on? Why is it, from your standpoint, why is the market going up so much? And could it be you do pepper your blogs with things about our economy improving? Could some of that really be taking place and having an influence, or is that not enough? You see other factors at work. What's going on out there?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We've talked quite a bit about the markets and the way it's definitely improving. You know, we've actually been one of the economists out there that have said we weren't going into a recession. We didn't think we were going into a recession earlier this year, and it's clipping right along. The problem is what's happening both with the global economy as well as the valuation levels of the market. During the quick little corrections we've had so far this year, and then we had one last fall, the valuations never got down to levels where you would say this is a good opportunity to buy. They just are at levels that, if you look back at past market history, had you started investing at those valuation levels, then the long-term 10-year returns would have been pretty abysmal, sometimes negative, definitely half the long-term average. So that's something that, you know, we've been telling people for quite some time is, look, if you're getting in, it's very possible you're going to have some lackluster returns. And The more the market goes up like this, the more they're believing that I'm crazy and that the market can always act like that.
Right. Well, it can always act like that. And before we started the podcast, you were referencing one of your... Oh, I don't know if he's one of your favorite people. I don't think he is. I'm being facetious. George Soros. But regarding this market mania, what is it, 8 years since we really bottomed out? And it's been, the past 12 months really hasn't gone any place. But now, tell us what's going on now. There's a new pattern has emerged, so to speak. At least it's broken. The pattern that we were in for I don't remember how long now, but you know, we're just, things kind of didn't go anywhere. We're hitting new highs now. We're going to a new place. How does that change things for us?
You know, it really shouldn't change things from a long-term perspective. And that's something we've urged really this entire bull market is, let's take a step back and make sure you're in the right portfolio. And, you know, you're talking about what we said about George Soros, and you know, he said the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. And he was, of course, talking about money managers who were trying to bet against the market whenever you were in this type of a mania. But, you know, we make these warnings just to point out the fundamental downside if you're a long-term investor right now. But all along we said, you know, if you have a 20, 30, 40-year time horizon, just get in there, invest in it, and forget about it. But the problem we're seeing is people are not behaving rationally with their money. We saw almost every week where there was more people selling their stock mutual funds than buying, until last week, where we saw the highest money flowing into stock mutual funds of the entire year. And this follows, of course, 2 weeks ago, where we saw the largest outflow of stock mutual funds going all the way back to 2008. So people weren't in for the big rally up. They didn't decide to get in until they saw higher prices. And that's what I've always told people. Don't let the market direction determine your asset allocation.
Right.
In other words, if the market's been going up, that doesn't mean stocks are more attractive. They actually become more attractive the more the market goes down. The more they go up in value, the less attractive they become, just because when all of this is said and done, the fundamentals truly are going to matter. And we're looking at, you know, despite what I said about the economic growth, it's still not where it should be at this point, especially when you consider all the stimulus that's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sooner or later, we're going to have a recession. And on average, stocks lose 30 to 40% of their value just before and during a recession. So there's going to be much better entry points for the market. It's just newer highs do not make good entry points.
Right, right. Yeah, you're being logical, and nobody likes that. I mean, in a nice way, refer to you as Mr. Spock, because he was always the one that was troubled by humans' emotions. You know, he wanted to be logical, and you're human. You're not Mr. Spock, but you know what I mean. The idea is that you're seeing the illogic aspect to this. Market should not be going up at this point, at least not based on it's not based on the economy, and we certainly don't want it going up just based on the talk of as you put it, helicopter money, as Ben Bernanke was doing here. That's going on now, what, in Japan? And then we had this week where Germans or whoever's buying the German bonds, 10-year bonds, are willing to pay Germany to hold their money and be charged a fee, make nothing on the account, right? Is that what's happened this week too?
Yeah, and Swiss bonds now going all the way out to 50 years, 50, are all negative yields.
Wow. Wow.
So that people would rather pay the Swiss to hold on to their money and get a little bit less in return. And keep in mind, these are very large, you know, pension funds, corporations, mm-hmm. things like that, that obviously have way more than I don't know what the deposit insurance is called over there, but there's limits on your FDIC insurance. So they would rather pay a fee to have the Swiss government hold their money than to invest it elsewhere or to keep it in their banking system. So that right there should tell you something's going wrong. We saw a chart we put in the Traders blog this week talking about the number of global corporate defaults, and it's the highest we've seen since 2009, and we're only through June. If this pace keeps up, we're going to exceed 2009, which was, of course, just after the financial crisis, and yet everybody says, oh, don't worry, the Fed, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of China, they'll just step in and they'll buy those investments, when at some point they're not going to be able to. You know, you go back to 2008, and this Brexit shock kind of reminds me of when Bear Stearns failed. People forget that in March 2008, Bear Stearns failed, and the market just kind of shook it off. It sold off for a couple of weeks, and then it rallied all the way back to the highs, and in fact, it eclipsed the highs of the year. And then rumors started circulating about other problems in the financial system over the summer. And mm-hmm. when, because remember, I forget who ended up buying Bear Stearns. I think Morgan Stanley. But the Fed arranged for that buyout, and they said they would finance it and allow, you know, some rules to be changed and this and that. So everybody thought, well, no matter what happens, the Fed's going to save the day. Well, when Lehman Brothers failed, word has it that the Federal Reserve wanted to arrange a buyout, but they looked at their assets and they said, they're worthless. They have no assets that we can sell to another bank. We can't step in and buy it because there's no value there. And so if you consider that the logic in the market is, don't worry, the central banks will buy this defaulting debt, who's going to have faith in that system if your central bank is holding worthless assets?
So this is where you liken it to the forest fire, meaning you keep putting out the little fires and don't let the forest ever burn, and then there's just going to be this horrific thing that could happen that they won't be able to stop. Now, tell me, one curious thing that I read, and again, you're immersed in this economic stuff, but the British, they were expected to reduce their interest rate, and they held tough. Why do you think that was? What would be their impetus in not going along with the crowd to reduce their rate or make it negative?
Yeah, I mean, for one, they've removed a lot of uncertainty. Everybody, in fact, we had to literally stop the presses on our newsletter that's going out to clients this week because we were talking about how the process of choosing a new prime minister in Britain was supposed to take up to 2 months. So we were looking at October before they kind of had some leadership inside their government. And they surprised everybody how orderly it was. And, you know, the candidates that were there, they all kind of stepped aside and they said, you know, Miss May was really the person for the job. And so we had to, you know, stop our newsletter and say, you know, now that they've chosen a new prime minister, here's the next step in the process. And, you know, so I believe, and you know, again, this is all reading what other traders in Great Britain are saying, is they want to try to strengthen the pound and kind of come at this from a position of strength. So when you don't raise interest rates, or you actually raise interest rates, you increase the value of their currency. Mm-hmm. So that gives them a better place. It gives our multinational companies a little bit better competitive edge as far as, you know, being able to pay for things and that sort of thing. So they'll probably end up having to reduce it at some point if their economy starts to be hit. But remember, they're going to the negotiating table now for, you know, everywhere from trade agreements to passport agreements to, you know, taxation. And they got to draw up all these new treaties over the next couple of years. But it removed the uncertainty. And I think the Bank of England said, hey, you know, we're going to hold firm right now and we're going to try to strengthen the pound a little bit.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, the other thing that you pointed out was that with this new, you know, breakout of the market going up and hitting new highs, that it's tell me where you get this range from. You said that it wouldn't be out of the question, even though you don't see this as a valid rally, meaning based on economic growth. That's not much to do with it. But you indicated it could be 18 months, could be 36 months. What kind of gave you that time frame? What were you looking at that gave you that thought to the whole thing?
Really, just
not that you're telling people to jump in because the water's great. No, it could be ugly. Who knows when? It's so synthetic. But what were you looking at?
Right, and keep in mind that was 6 months ago. So now we're talking 12 to 30 months.
Okay.
I was just looking at the economic indicators, you know, bigger mm-hmm. picture, fundamental things. Remember I said the U.S. is not going into a recession.
You did.
However, looking out and where we're at in the economic cycle and some of the things that have been slowing down, like industrial production, we're seeing consumer spending slow down a little bit. We kind of appear to be in that last one-third of the economic cycle, which tends to last anywhere from 18 to 36 months at the time. Again, 12 to 30 months now. So the worst of the bear markets always occur inside of a recession. If you have a bear market without a recession, you get kind of what we just went through the last 16, 18 months, which is a lot of sideways movements.
Right.
You know, we were at about a 14% trading range from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Didn't really go anywhere. Now we've broken out. So that momentum where now, remember I said, people just now started buying. Sometimes the market goes up because more people are buying than selling. So as long as you have that momentum of people buying, everything's
right.
Okay. But
yeah.
If we get the economic environment rolling over towards a recession, that's when you get the bad bear market. And that's why I came up with that time frame. And I wouldn't mind an 18 to 36 month rally. What we've had so far in our accounts in 2016 has been very nice, whether it's our low risk program or our high growth program. It's been very rewarding for those who have stuck it out. And you know, especially when you look at some of the big drops we had in January, from a risk perspective, our lowest risk programs barely participated. Same way this little Brexit panic that we had, our low risk programs did not lose that much. So we're in a good position right now where we could participate in that rally, but still be able to get out on the other side when things do get ugly, because there's so much uncertainty out there that any little thing could cause the next panic. And, you know, like you were mentioning, the forest fire, any spark can cause that big one that the Fed's going to be unable to control.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, though it's, the market's gone up, it does seem like the economy's slowing down. I read another report talking about corporate earnings this week that it was a Wall Street article back at the beginning of the week talking about the corporate buybacks, and that's kind of juicing the market as well. Still, that's kind of been happening quite a bit, and it just makes me question, you know, at what point does the synthetic nature of what's moving the market, you know, come back to us? I don't know. I'd love it if it was really genuinely based on earnings and on, you know, strong economic growth, but it's tepid growth. It's growth that we're saying maybe is going backwards. What's your prediction for earnings this quarter? What do you think overall across the board? I know everybody will hit, or most will hit their reduced expectation earnings, but are earnings still shrinking?
They seem to be. I haven't updated my spreadsheets yet, but that's kind of the big thing. And you touched on you know, the corporate buybacks and things like that. And what surprised me was on Thursday, BlackRock CEO. Now, BlackRock is now, they've taken over from Vanguard and PIMCO and Fidelity as the world's largest asset manager. Mm-hmm. So they have a finger on the pulse of what investors are doing.
Right.
And their CEO, Larry Fink, has been pretty bullish, you know, throughout the sideways movement. And that's because he said that, you know, overall the U.S. economy is strong. Mm-hmm. There's some great values being set up by the sell-off overseas. And, you know, we're looking at the U.K. stock market has actually been up 20% off the lows. So they've had a pretty nice rally over there.
Yeah.
Emerging market stocks are doing well. And Larry Fink's talked about that throughout the year. Yesterday on CNBC, he was not as optimistic as he's been. And, you know, he even said, I don't think we should be at new highs for the stock market.
Right.
With the extraordinary central bank liquidity and all the stock repurchases, you're seeing this reduction in investable assets. And that's something, you know, probably too detailed to talk about on this podcast.
Sure,
but basically,
sure. We'll pick it up again.
You have more money chasing fewer assets, so that can drive things higher artificially.
Right.
But he said the one thing that can stop this quickly is if we see a continued slowdown in corporate earnings. And remember what we saw with the Brexit vote was the U.S. dollar strengthened significantly against both the euro and the pound. And now we have Japan talking about doing helicopter money, where they're essentially giving money to consumers and businesses directly rather than going, you know, funneling it through the banks. And that's caused the Japanese yen to depreciate against the dollar. So one of the things that hurts especially S&P 500 earnings, because there's so many multinational companies, is a stronger value of the dollar, because it makes our products less attractive overseas. So
yeah.
It hurts our overseas sales. And
more expensive
that
overseas,
could cause earnings.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can justify high stock valuations as long as you have higher growth in earnings. But Mr. Fink was saying if we see a continued slowdown in earnings, we could see this rally derail very quickly.
Mm. So there's no guarantee on the 12 months to 30 months?
I
wish there was too. No, but to reel it back in, really, it comes all back to people's tolerance, their appetite for risk. And it's just like you're saying now, Jeff, that you know, you have to be the heavy to bring these points up, because it's going to happen sooner or later. When it does, are people going to stay on board? Are they going to bail? Are they going to get out at the worst possible time, having gotten in after things are already so, you know, overdone, overvalued? Hard to say. But I would say if you haven't explored the merits of active money management, you really should consider it, because it's funny money, you know? It really is. And it's who knows how long it's going to go. But it's a serious topic, because we've seen how people respond when things do eventually pull back. And we're not hoping they pull back, but we're hoping they continue to go up. We hope the economy improves, continues to improve. It has made great strides, but it's still a tepid recovery. So all the more reason that you need to have your portfolio squared away that it's supposed to be for you, because that's what matters most, is what are you going to be doing with it? When are you going to need to draw from it? What's going to be the expectation of how you're going to draw money on that account, or, you know, your whole portfolio for that matter? So anyway, well, and it gets back to what we say at the 401k Latte company. What's that saying we have, Jeff?
We love to have people invest in a conversation.
And do it soon.